WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, welcome to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan along with Mike Brammer. And we've been gone for a couple days after the four overtime loss to Pittsburgh. Quite honestly, I just didn't have the stomach for it. I just couldn't do this. I barely read the newspaper. Haven't been on ND Nation. Bram, this is a tough one. We're going to be talking about the implications of the game, where the Irish go from here. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or post it on the website. We've been getting a lot of emails, particularly after this game, and we appreciate the feedback. Bram, you know, how bad is it from your point of view?
You know, quite honestly, I mean, I'm disappointed. I'm heartbroken, but I'm also a realist, and I know that you know, this is the heyday of college football. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that happens. We are not a great football team, and so great football teams win games like this year in and year out. We're not there yet.
Wait, okay. I got to cut you off there. On the one hand, yeah, you're right. We're not a great football team. I agree. I don't think that was a game that required a great football team. Good football teams win games like this year in and year out, or I'll settle for occasionally. I mean, that's one that we should not have lost at home. You got to win those games if you're going to separate yourself from the pile of mediocre teams. Mediocre teams, you know, are we the best of the worst or the worst of the best? And that's, we had a chance to set ourselves apart from that group of mediocre teams, and we didn't do it. Well, it's not a question of good versus great. It's a question of mediocre versus decent.
Yeah, but even still, I mean, you know, you can sit here and you can say that, but the fact of the matter is that game hinged on, like, three plays. I know that, but any one of those three plays go for us, we end up winning that game. So, you know, you can't just sit here and say that is a game we should have won. There is no excuse for not winning that. Anything less than us winning that game is absolute disaster. And unfortunately, that's the feeling of the Notre Dame community right now. And I just think that is just way out of hand. We are on the fringe of that kind of expectation, but we are not there yet. And this is just an indication of that we're not there yet. I mean, we lost to a decent team, not a great team, but a decent team. But we're a decent team. You know, there wasn't that much separation between us and Pittsburgh. There was some, but not that much.
Well, clearly, I agree with you. You know, Pitt, I don't have any problem with Pitt. I think Pitt is a, you know, you said a decent football team. They're a pretty good football team. They're probably going to win the Big East. I don't have a problem with Pitt. The point is, we were up 17-3 at home. This is a game that you absolutely have to have to set your program a notch ahead of where everybody thought it would be, and you can't protect a 2-touchdown lead. And I don't understand why. I really don't. I'm not saying this is disaster. I like where we're going to be next year. I'm impatient. I admit it. And this is just emotionally very, very disappointing.
No, and I think that's the crux of the matter. It's just that, you know, we for so long have been wallowing in mediocrity at Notre Dame that it's frustrating because you want to get out of there, and there's signs of it that are heading in that direction. Well, guess what? Even after Saturday, those signs are still there. I don't think anybody right now would say, you know what, I wouldn't take us running the table and then, you know, playing competitively at USC. I mean, USC is a great football team. You can't go in there to expect to win that. But if we finish 8-4, go to a bowl game and win the bowl game, I mean, who's complaining?
No, I agree with you, Mike. The point is that to do that, you needed to hold serve at home, and we didn't. And, you know, is this team capable of going into BC and getting a victory over, again, a pretty good BC team?
Well, exactly, and I think therein lies the question mark. If we go out there and lay an egg, then the calls can start coming in. Then I would start to say, all right, what is going on? We're not that bad of a football team.
Go ahead.
I just think it's too early to tell on that. You can't just – you know, this is the nature of college football. I mean, it's not like everybody in the top 10 blew out their opponents that should have been. You know, all of a sudden Baylor competes with Oklahoma or whoever it was they were playing. I mean, it's not like
Missouri, yeah.
you know, I mean, those kind of games happen. And I think this was just one of those games that this is the product of having a young football team like this. They don't hold the lead when they should. They get into, you know, 17-3 at halftime. They come out. Pittsburgh's got the ball. It's three and out. And then we get a late flag on an unsportsmanlike conduct. And all of a sudden, that changes the momentum of that series right there. They go down and score. Pittsburgh is right back in the game. The emotions start to fuel.
Yeah, Mike, there's no question. There's no question. That was a huge play in the game. There were several big plays like that, including in overtime. Michael Floyd running down the middle of the field or in the end zone all by himself, and we just flat out overthrow him. That, I believe, would have been the game winner. Second and two in the first overtime from the goal, from the 2 yard line, second and goal from the two. And why don't we have Robert Hughes or James Aldridge in the game to pound it three times from the 2 yard line? Instead, we run it with Allen. Now, I know Allen ran it down there, but, you know, Allen's not your guy from the 2 yard line, is he? I mean, I would have made a different choice there. It seems like we've made those different choices consistently from inside the five with Aldridge or Hughes. I don't know why we looked confused. We looked like the play came in late. We couldn't decide on who to go with, and we lose 3 yards. Now we throw it on third and five or whatever it was. And I mean, there were several moments like that where you just like, oh my, it's painful to see how close we are and not get it done.
Yeah, and I think that's part of dealing with a young team like we got. I mean, it's just, you know, calling two timeouts back-to-back because we can't get the play in quick enough.
I don't know if that's – you put that on the kit? You're going to put that on the kids because they're young? Or is that I don't know what happened there, but let's talk about that moment. I'm always been a Weiss supporter, and I think I applaud the changes he's made. But at that moment right there where we're considering going for it, on fourth down from the middle of the field and potentially give them a chance to kick a field goal to win the game. And then we burn two timeouts to do it. I didn't understand that whole sequence at all.
The second time not burning. Now that has to do with the play clock starting a lot quicker.
The first timeout, Graham, why would we call a timeout to stop the clock so we can go for it at midfield? If you're going to go for it, I might as well let the clock run out and force Pitt to take a timeout.
No, if you're not going to go for it, no, you need to stop the clock in order to give us a chance to get in field goal range.
I would have made Pitt take the timeout there. And
Why would Pitt take the timeout?
Because when they stop us, they would have time on the clock once they got the ball back. If you're Pitt, you got to assume you're going to stop Notre Dame on fourth down there and get the ball at midfield, and you'd want some time left. What we did is stop the clock, risked not getting it, which, of course, we didn't, and then gave Pitt the ball with plenty of time, a timeout, and field position. That whole sequence was unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think the thinking was we got two timeouts. We call timeout right now. We get the first down. We got time with another timeout to work the field and get our field goal in range and then call timeout and kick the field goal. That's what they were thinking.
Of course that's what they're thinking. It's a question of risk-reward. Of course they weren't thinking we're going to get stopped. You've got to consider what's the worst-case scenario there.
True, but I think the booze would have showered down on that field if we would have kicked punted it on there.
Oh, no way. No way.
Oh, I think so.
Believe me, I was sitting in the stadium, and everybody around me was like, what's he doing? I mean, I don't know about that one, Mike.
I think it was the right thing to do to go for it at that point. I mean, I think that, you know, you're in a situation like that. You want to win the football game. What does it say to your team if you end up punting it? Now, granted, that's coaching, but I didn't particularly at the time think that that was a hugely bad call at all. In fact, I thought the play call was the right play call. I just didn't like the route.
I mean, the play call, too. If you're going to go for it, I thought that was a pretty good –
Now, I would argue that Rudolph got held up. I mean, the middle linebacker had both his hands on his jersey. And, you know, the play before that he gets whistled for pass interference, I mean, that was a horrendous call.
Yeah,
so,
you know, there's a lot of key plays in the game that added up that we didn't make. And – at some point, you got to make those plays. You know, if you're going to win the games, you have to win. Why aren't we making the plays? I agree with you. We are a very young team. I know I'm impatient. I'm expecting more, I guess, at this point because we've seen those flashes of real excellent play. And here's a guy in particular, Jimmy Clausen, who I think he's settled. He's settled into a little bit of a rut as a sophomore. He's playing like a sophomore, and he had a stretch of games where the comparisons to Brady Quinn were very easy to make as Brady Quinn as a senior. But now he's settling into a situation where he's playing like a young guy. And again, Quinn is a sophomore. You know, Quinn was inconsistent as well. So, you know, Clawson's going to be the guy. He's going to be a great quarterback. But we're going through some of those learning or growing pains of having a young guy play there.
Yeah, no, and I think that he showed it. The last couple games, his completion percentage has dropped. And certainly I think that was the worst ball he's thrown all year long to Floyd. I mean, he missed him by a lot. I mean, I think that ball sailed into the stands. But I think that could have been just excitement. You know, you get in that situation, he's wide open. You know, oh my God, we got it. And you just end up, you know, and that's what you get with the sophomore. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens. But, you know, the fact of the matter is there's blame to go around for everybody on this game. I mean, you know, the defense I thought played great. You can't argue with holding the opposing team to four field goals in overtime and four overtimes.
No, they played great in the overtime. I mean, it's a little disappointing that with a 24-17 lead and a couple minutes to go in the game, they
get a
big chunk. No, it wasn't just big plays, big chunks of yardage when the game is on the line. That was a little disappointing.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we stuffed him in the backfield, and had we just grabbed him right at that point, he's down and of a loss of 2 yards, and instead he wiggles out and gets a big gain. And,
well, there was
and
a
that's just
yard,
credit
there was
to him.
A 40-yard completion in that
prior to that. Drive. I know that.
Yeah, I mean that play was
stuff like that. It's just, you know, it's a great play by that kid. He's a great athlete. I mean, we held him to 5 yards in the first half. So it's not like we didn't do what we needed to do. It just got away in that third quarter was, you know, where everything changed on us. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that happens. I mean, I don't know. I'm frustrated,
Mike.
Too. I hate it. But I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, my God, you know, the world's caving in on us now. What do we do now?
Well,
I mean, we're
tell
not
you,
in that situation.
No, it puts the burden on these guys, the coaching staff. This week at BC, I mean, is it a must-win? It feels like it. You know, it feels like it because,
yeah.
I tell you, we're right on the verge of looking at like a 7-6 kind of season, which, you know, it just feels a lot different than what we had all expected. And I think what we're capable of. And, again, that's the thing. We've seen signs that indicate we're capable of being 8-4 this year and winning a bowl game. We're totally capable of that, and we're just not putting it together yet. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just frustrating.
I mean, we could go to BC, and we could win that game. And if we do win that game, then I think we run the table to USC. And then everybody is happy and says, looking back, geez, man, what if we could have just stolen that game from Pittsburgh, and you know now we're sitting at 9-3.
Well, you're right, but it's now time to do it. I mean, we've talked about, well, we could do this, we could do that, and at some point we've got to step up and do it and go to the next level. And you know, that's what we're all waiting for, and that's where the frustration comes from. But, you know, it was a tough weekend. We got to move forward, look ahead to BC, and I'm hopeful that the leadership of the team and the coaching staff is going to have these guys ready emotionally to go out to Boston and get a much-needed win. We'll be back later in the week, and we'll talk about the specifics of that game a little bit. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. For Mike Brammer, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.